Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and the radio audience. We appreciate you tuning in, and we hope that you listen for the duration of the program as we attempt to speak only those things from God's holy and divine word. If at any time you have a question about something that's said on this program, or if you have a Bible question or a Bible subject that you'd like for us to deal with on the program, please feel free to contact us at the information given either by the announcer, or you can contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastabbotville.org. You know, the beginning of things always interests us. We often mark them with great ceremony at the time if we anticipate their importance. Weddings, birthdays, we frequently research beginnings, if only later that we realize someone's or something's importance, like maybe the work of an historian. It's to be of no surprise that thinking men and women have often pondered the beginning of this physical universe. While many are content to not give it any consideration, and they perhaps assume that because it's here, it's always been here, most people observe and realize that not all physical things have complete duration. Things get old. You and I have physical bodies. We're getting older. So these things that we see of us and around us cannot be eternal. So they must have a beginning point. And essentially, there are two possibilities for how the physical began. One, it happened by random chance, or two, it happened on purpose. To say it another way, one, it happened by random chance, or two, it happened by design. And that sort of maybe to put it even another way, one, it began spontaneously from ignorant nothingness, or it began intentionally from intelligence. You know, in modern times, it's the debate between Big Bang and intelligent design. It's the debate between evolution versus creation. And while some have attempted to harmonize the general theory of evolution and creation, at its core, such an attempt is useless, it's futile. To borrow from the Apostle Paul and sort of to adapt it to what our subject is today in 2 Corinthians 6, verses 14 through 16, what fellowship has purpose with accident? What communion has design with chance? What accord has intelligence with ignorance? What agreement has creation with evolution? Well, the answer is none. You know, when anyone is challenged to give an historical explanation for the existence of something that's physical, spontaneous generation from nothing is never considered to be sound reasoning. And yet, this is what modern science teaches is the best explanation for the beginning of all things. However, the Bible, the Holy Scriptures, offers another explanation. Many find this explanation incredible, but it's far more credible than this spontaneous generation of something from nothing that's suggested by atheists and agnostics. Genesis 1 and verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. Indeed, mankind is without excuse for not drawing the basic conclusions that a powerful supernatural intelligence, God, is the cause of this physical existence. It's in the book of Romans, in chapter 1. Let's begin our reading with verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Truly, that's the summary of what this whole thing concerning the answer of how did it all begin, that it all just began with the Big Bang. People no longer want to retain God in their knowledge. They think that of themselves they have the answers, and the truth is they do not. Scripture reveals that God simply spoke things into existence. In the book of Genesis, it stated, then God says, and it was so. For example, if you have your Bibles in the book of Genesis, notice in verse 3 of Genesis 1, God said, let there be light. In verse 6, God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. In verse 9, God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together. Verse 11, God said, let the earth bring forth grass. Verse 14, God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven. Then we read in verse 20, God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that has life. Verse 24, and God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind. Verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. So God said, and it was so. So to be able to speak material things into existence demands a power that is beyond nature, a power that certainly is beyond our comprehension. It is supernatural. Therefore, it's understandable that atheists assume that this creation account, along with the rest of the first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis, is just sort of a myth. It's a fairy tale. It's a legend. At best, they want to make it allegorical, but anything and everything but making it literal. And yet, we see that even some believers in God attempt to explain the creation using these naturalistic assumptions of the unbelievers. You know, forgetting that with God all things are possible, Matthew 19 and verse 26, many find these accounts incredible and unbelievable. However, again, borrowing from the sayings of Paul in Acts 26 and verse 8, why is it to be thought incredible by you? God spoke things into existence in 6 literal days. Why is that incredible? Of course, Paul in Acts 26 was addressing Agrippa with regard to Jesus' resurrection when he said, why is it to be thought incredible by you that God raised him from the dead? So, we need to beware, because if we find the 6 days of creation incredible, then we might also have the same problem with the resurrection from the dead. Most people do. But whatever And whenever we doubt the powers of God's spoken word, then we have no foundation for faith in any aspect of God's word. So as a disciple of Christ, we would do well to follow his lead concerning the authority of the account of the beginning in the book of Genesis. In responding to his adversaries about a point of great controversy regarding divorce, Jesus refers to the Genesis account of the beginning. In Matthew 19, we find this in verse 3. When in answer to the question of can a man divorce his wife for every cause, here's what we find Jesus saying to this individual. He said, "Have you not read that he that made them at the beginning made them male and female?" So Jesus' authoritative use of Moses' account of creation affirms that Jesus believed it to be accurate. Indeed, we cannot claim Christ as our Lord and reject the accuracy of Moses' words in regards to creation. If Jesus used Moses' words to confirm the truth in the matter. So to adopt Jesus' words to the Pharisees and apply them to the present controversy that we have over creation and evolution, we have to say, like he says in Matthew 22 and verse 29, "You are mistaken, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God." So we need to beware. A rejection of these beginning truths undermines the whole foundation of the rest of the scriptures, and therefore our faith in God's power to do anything. If one does not believe in all that the Bible says, he's an infidel and an unbeliever, even in God who created all things, in and by his own way. We can't have one without the other. You know, let's don't worry about science. It has its legitimate field, and in its field it's done a lot of things. We reap its benefits, and we're glad. But the average preacher knows little about science, and the average scientist knows little about the Bible. The claim that science and the Bible do not agree ought not to disturb anyone, because what's called science is not static. Each generation brings new light. Most of the old theories have been exploded by scientists themselves. And yet each generation of science boldly announces that science has disproved the Bible. But it can as easily be proved that science has disproved itself. With all of their dogmatism about the Bible and science, there are few theories that real science are willing to make to take their stand on and say that here is the absolute truth. There's no further discoveries that's going to contradict this. So as long as they can't afford to confirm that they have arrived at ultimate truth, how can they say with any honor that science disproves the Bible? Besides, if the Bible fully agreed with the scientific theories of one age, it would not agree with the theories of the next age. But friends, the Bible is unchangeable, and it cannot keep up agreement with that which constantly changes, and science constantly changes. Some of the most foremost scientists recognize the limitations of science, and they're firm believers in the Bible. We just simply need to preach the word, because there is no known truth that contradicts the Bible. We see your time is gone. We appreciate so much your listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow, and it's until then that we bid you a pleasant good day, and now return you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 a.m. and Sunday at 8:30 a.m. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbottville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.